thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
My nickname is Gloom.
And inform you in the afternoon.
People who like licorice really like licorice.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Going to be a different look and sound to the show all week long. Starting with today, you get Gasper and Murray, which is normally the official show of your Saturday morning trip to Target. We're in here today alongside Kristen Arkand, who is in my normal spot. He'll be chiming in, handling the Sports Hub headlines. Re-entry Monday, Chris. And good afternoon, Kristen. Hello. Hi, how are you?
Hello.
Jimmy Stewart behind the glass.
Bringing a lot of energy today, Jim. I'm used to Saturdays when you're like
when
so...
I'm like half asleep and not wanting to be here.
You're half asleep. You're so bitter that you're here. You're just, you know, indignant at the fact we even have to do the show. And then normally you warm up, but this is like vintage Jim right off the top.
Well, because it's the afternoon. Now I've actually gotten to sleep.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Re-entry Monday, ton to get to, including the Celtics, the growing concern over Kyrie Irving's knee. We'll touch on the Bruins. Chris, I know you have a thought on Brad Marchand and his hit over the weekend, or the hit that he tried to avoid, which you have some thoughts. We'll get into whether or not he even tried to avoid that. NFL free agency, losing out on Richard Sherman, something I was bitching about before it even truly happened on Saturday. Nate Solder's contract, all sorts of stuff to get into. If you want to talk about Tiger Woods and his weekend, yes, we'll even get into that if you want. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. But I figured we'd start with the final episode of Tom vs. Time, which dropped today, episode 6, Facebook Watch. We all got a chance to watch this thing. There's some money quotes in here, some concerning quotes from both Tom, his wife Giselle. I think the most concerning going forward, Jimmy Stewart, executive producer, has thoughts on it. I heard you talk about this with Zoe and Beadle earlier today. Comes in the last 3 minutes, where it sounds like Tom's time in the NFL could be wrapping up right around the corner. Jimmy thinks it could be happening right after this season. But either way, here's the money quote, I think, from Brady in the final episode of Tom vs. Time.
This offseason is going to be about my family, and they deserve it. There's more to think about than just me. And I think that's what you commit to when you have a family. And they commit a lot to me. You know, that obviously goes both ways. It's a big commitment. Sitting here laying here 3 days after the year, getting my Achilles worked on my thumb. And you go, what are we doing this for? You know, what are we doing this for? Who are we doing this for? Why are we doing this? You got to have answers to those questions. And they have to be with a lot of conviction. You know, when you lose your conviction, then you probably should be doing something else.
And the dramatic music plays it off. What are we doing this for? What, he's questioning the commitment? This is a guy that, you know, if I have to play this, when I heard this, the first thing that I thought of was the pump-up speech prior to Super Bowl 49 against the Seattle Seahawks.
It's our time. It started 7-8 months ago, right? All for this moment. All for this moment. It's about honor. It's about respect.
Right.
We win this game, you're honored. Your kids are honored. Your families are honored.
Quite a juxtaposition from a few years ago.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. I hadn't thought of it in those terms. And sort of, he's basically saying, hey, win this football game, and everything's fine with your family. I mean, this goes to your family. And now he's sort of saying, well, wait a second, what are we doing this for? And when I watched the whole last episode here, this is what I thought. I thought the whole thing, honestly, Jim, was a little bit of a setup in terms of, hey, you know that contract extension I've been asking for? Yeah, you know, I mean, my wife doesn't really want me to play anymore. I know my kids would like me to be around a little bit more often. It would really help my family if, you know, we could get this contract extension. That's the way I looked at it.
Arkan?
Would it really help his family, though? Like, is his family going to go into financial ruin if he doesn't get the contract extension? I just sort of look at a guy like Tom Brady and his life and his marriage and sort of everything else and wonder what really is going on here. If this, with him and Brady and Gronkowski, if it's all just sort of leverage for a bigger contract, wouldn't that be kind of disappointing? Doesn't it seem like it's a little more serious than that?
But Christian, isn't the contract extension, I mean, this is a guy who's always taken less money, and I know we're going to get to something else that's in this that Giselle talked about in terms of being appreciated. You know professional athletes.
Right.
A lot of times it's not about the finances. It's not about the bank account. It's about respect. And they'll look at respect and measure respect in terms of, is my paycheck commensurate to what people who are on my level are getting?
I still think it's a shot at Belichick. It's a subtle shot at Belichick, and he doesn't like how this operation is run right now, and he's tired of how things are run here. That's how I take this. That's how I took the whole last few minutes of this, and that, you know, he mentions that it's not, well, we're going to play this Giselle cut here.
Yeah, because it's the money cut.
This is the one where she's talking via Tom.
These last 2 years have been very challenging for him in so many ways. And I think he just wants, you know, he tells me, I love it so much and I just want to go to work and feel appreciated and have fun.
I want to be appreciated and have fun. The last 2 years have been extremely challenging for him. This is Tom using Giselle as his mouthpiece, I think.
Oh, I totally agree with you. Yeah, it's much better for it to come from Mrs. TB12 instead of TB12 when you're talking about sort of the tension in the building. What was in that Wickersham piece? The idea that Tom doesn't like negativity and that, you know, Tom used to take Bill's extremely hard coaching, extremely critical coaching. Now he's less inclined to take that. It's not as much fun being around Foxborough, and you want to be appreciated. How do you get appreciated? Cha-ching, money. That's how you're appreciated if you're a professional athlete. Where's my contract relative to these other people? Where's my security relative to these other people in the league?
So you don't think it has anything to do with the fact that he is tired of how, you know, this clash between him and Belichick? This, you think it's strictly about getting some kind of a new deal?
No, I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you on the, I think it's a lot about the tension with Bill. And again, that's coming out of Giselle's mouth. I think it's much easier to say, oh, he wants it to be fun, than if Brady was saying, yeah, I want it to be fun. Then everybody looks at it and says, wait, is he saying it's not fun to play for Belichick? It's not fun to play for the Patriots? When you watch the Tom versus Time thing, like, I didn't think it was exactly a natural segue to that scene with Giselle.
No, it was crowbarred right in.
It felt like it was crammed right in there and crammed in there for a reason. And I think it's significant in this final episode that she's saying that, and what she's saying is significant.
Not even the juxtaposition from what Brady said just 3 years ago, now 4 years ago, and 4 years before that Super Bowl against the Seahawks, but even just the beginning of this series where he talked about, you know, the sacrifice and the commitment and being away from family, and paraphrasing, but he's talking about all these things in the first couple of episodes. And is it just all changed because of this loss a month ago?
No, I find it hard to believe that one Super Bowl loss would change his entire outlook. Now, look, the one thing I will say is that you're catching somebody probably when they're at one of their most emotionally vulnerable points. He's just poured his heart and soul into a season and lost the Super Bowl, and it's 3 days after he's lost the Super Bowl. You're going to be a little bit pensive, a little bit introspective at that point. And even going back to Super Bowl 51, he spent a lot of that week in Houston talking about his family and the sacrifice that is required by his family in order to allow him to do what he does, and in order to be Tom Brady. So I think, you know, part of that is legit. But overall, when you're looking at the Tom versus Time, this sort of final episode, to me, I thought the whole thing was sort of a cry about, you know, you have to give me a little bit of incentive to play. The whole thing felt like sort of, is all the work I put in appreciated?
Yeah, well,
are the sacrifices I make and my family makes appreciated?
And who's that? Who's he speaking to there? He's speaking to Bill, right? Like, that's, but should it matter? Like, no one's going to like their boss. And I heard Hardy saying the same thing, and I agree completely. It's work. It's called work for a reason. It's not called fun. You don't show up each and every week like, oh, the boss is going to like me, and all my coworkers are going to like me. That's not how it works. And so if the boss doesn't appreciate you, well, shouldn't it? The craft certainly do. That's who should matter most, because you don't have this peachy and rosy relationship like you had with a coach. I don't know if you ever have. Like, whatever. Just keep showing up. I thought it was about honor. I thought it was about respect. I thought it was about winning championships. And all of a sudden now, it feels to me like it's turned.
Isn't it sort of, though, when you talk about, like, you mentioned the Wickersham piece.
Yeah.
Wasn't the takeaway from that Tom Brady won this battle of respect? Like, Jimmy Garoppolo got traded, right? Like, Brady won that. Belichick lost. So what's the continued need for respect and honor and all that other stuff here? I feel like Brady already kind of came out on top of that.
So what's it really come down to? He just wants Alex Guerrero to have full access again? Is that the honor and respect?
Well, that's a good point, too. I mean, that, you know, again, I was trying to tell. I couldn't tell where this rub down happened in this one when he got the phone call from Giselle. I couldn't tell if that was in the training room or not the training room. But, yeah, I mean, all that friction and tension, whatever you want to put it, this year. And the fact that, you know, Alex Guerrero is a big part of what Tom Brady has accomplished in his career. And let's be honest, Tom Brady is the biggest part of what the Patriots have accomplished since 2001. And if you feel like you're getting blowback and flack from your boss about this guy who's so important to you, I mean, I think that factors into it as well. As well as the contract. You know, I think the contract's not just about money with 2 years left on his deal. It's about security. You know, it's a situation of knowing, okay, I now have a little bit of security here. There's some extra years tacked on to this contract.
And Jimmy Stewart, for those that didn't hear you chime in on Zolak and Bertrand earlier today, what was your takeaway from this?
I was waiting for the end to be Tom Brady was retiring. That's how it was building to me. And his questions about the offseasons, about family, and I see the end is close. My career is closer to the end. Like, are we sure that like he's in for next year? Are we sure that like this isn't the last year of Brady? Like he it feels to me like if he's mentally winding it down, he's already checked out. And if he's already checked out, the Patriots are porked. Big
Bold.
P.
Bold.
Well, that's true. Oh, it would be such a villain move for him to retire now. Yeah. You know, after, to Christian's point, you know, to me, the theme of the story was Brady wins. And you can boil it down to Jimmy goes and Josh McDaniels stays, right? That's all about Tom. And then all of a sudden, they make all these moves to placate him, and he just walks away at the end?
He can't. He can't. And, you know, Felger's talked about this. We have to be talking about...
But who wins between Kraft nagging at him and Giselle nagging at him? Who wins?
Well, she's got to stop. She's got to stop. He has to be here for three more years, including, you know, starting
with
this season.
It won't be three.
It feels doesn't like feel
it's
like it.
This year, and that's it.
It does. So that, Jimmy, I'm with you on that.
I still want to hear he's committed to this year. Haven't heard that. He hasn't got his contract extension. Do we know he's committed for this year?
Watching this, it feels ominous, and it's like, ooh, okay, you know, we get it. Mathematically, the guy's 40. He's going to be 41 next season. He doesn't have that much time left. But I was thinking, you have three seasons. You have to. Now that they've moved Garoppolo, you're pot committed to Tom Brady. You can't go yet, Tom, no matter how much nagging from Giselle.
But from the Tom Brady business side of it, right? So, to, you know, Jimmy's saying he's not committed. So what happens to all the TB12 stuff? I'm going to play until 45. And the name of the documentary is Tom versus Time.
Yeah.
So the implication is that he's going to play, you know, until he's 44, 45, and this is how he's doing it. And if he suddenly just walks away before he even turns 41, which will happen in August, doesn't that hurt the brand?
Oh, totally. Yeah,
it kills the brand, doesn't it? I mean, Tom versus Time. Time won.
I think to keep pumping up the TB12 method, you have to keep playing. That's what I figured. Three more years here, but it does feel a little bit weird after watching this thing. But more than anything else, my biggest takeaway is this: it's still not right behind the scenes. There, it's not, because there's subtle shots to Bill, and you think that this has things to do with him wanting some sort of contract extension, which I agree with as well. Like, it's still not right. Cooler heads have yet to prevail in Foxborough behind the scenes. So
that scene was totally jammed in there.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I'm not a film major, but I'm like, wait, where's this coming from?
The Giselle crowbar in there, too. It's not about fun anyway. He's not having fun anymore. But what fun? It's work. It's called work for a reason.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Mass.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
I remember at a dinner with you, with Giselle, with your wife, and she came up to me and said, Michael, you need to talk to my husband. I'm like, for what?
I know.
Because when I met him, he said he wanted to play 10 more years.
I know.
I've been with him for 5 years, and he still said he wants to play 10 more years.
I know.
And that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
You still say you want to play 5 more years.
Yeah. I wasn't a great math student back then, so I tried to tell her, she's right. I did say that because, you know, when we met, I was, I don't know, 29, 30 years old. Mm-hmm. And I thought, man, if I could get to 40, it'd be amazing. And it'd be a great career. And 18 years in the NFL and learned a lot. And it's been such a great love for me. I love the sport. I love the competition. I love my teammates. I love working with people that I love to work with. And so that part's really hard to give up, especially when I feel like I could do it. And I look around the league and I see these other quarterbacks and I'm thinking, man, I could do what they do. And I want to continue to do it as best I can because it's really brings a lot of joy to my life.
So, yeah, not good at math. You and I are one and the same there, Tom. But it's funny, too. I think there's like a subtle thing there. He's like, oh, when we first met, I was telling her, yeah, out of 40. Look, we all say a lot of things, Chris, to initially get in the pants. And then all of a sudden, years later, when you're committed to the gal, you've realized, oh, I've said things that I might not have realized what I've said, and now she's mad because I want to play longer, and I actually enjoy this job, and I don't want to retire yet, and I don't know what to say because I can't keep her at bay. It sounds like he can't keep Giselle at bay with this the last couple of seasons.
That's another thing, just the whole Tom vs. Time docuseries, you know, throughout it, like when they're in Costa Rica and they're sitting on the, you know, Barca lounger together. You can tell that she's sort of like, I thought this would be over by now.
You know? He told me 40. This was supposed to be the last year.
And she's almost kind of like shaming him into the camera with these stories of, you know, he's laughing about it. But it's like the type of nervous laughter you have when you're married. Trust me, I know about that. And you're sort of this nervous laugh from like, oh, man. Oh, I'm getting called out here. Yep. She's definitely right. Yep, definitely right. And so I think that's one of the big things for Tom. You know, this. I think that continuing to play has to be something that he can justify to his family. You know, whatever the reasons are, whatever the rationale is, he has to be able to sell it to Giselle.
And it sounds like he can't use, I really enjoyed I really enjoy this. I love the game. He can't really use that anymore. That's that she is sick of hearing. I think we've noticed that through this whole arc of Tom versus Time and any subtle hints that he dropped like that. Well, you know, I did say 40 when he was going. I thought you were going to be done by now. Like, oh, God. And again, in this latest episode that dropped today on Facebook Watch, here she is.
These last 2 years have been very challenging for him in so many ways. And I think he just want, you know, he tells me I love it so much and I just want to go to work and feel appreciated and have fun.
So on the one end, while he's using his wife as the mouthpiece there, and he's probably not enjoying how Belichick is running things and he's tired of him being a taskmaster, she's also like, enough of the fun, enough of the games, I thought you were going to be done by now. Like, he still enjoys it, he still wants to win more titles, but I don't think he can use that on Giselle anymore.
No, I mean, it's clearly, you know, not, again, if it's up to her, you know, I think it's over now.
It's a stupid game to her.
And when you look at that, and you're Tom, again, like I said, you have to be able to sort of, how at this point does he sell the idea of this commitment that not only he has to make, but that his family has to make?
And I don't even think...
And the whole Tom versus Time thing starts, you know, it's like, he says, you know, you realize you wake up the next day, the sun comes up, the kids are on their iPads, and Giselle's saying, you know, oh, the season's over, but, you know, it was a long season, and, you know, the kids are happy to see him. They don't see their dad all the time.
And I don't think that he can even use the... If he were to say, like, look, another title, like, that cements my legacy. She can come back and say, well, you already are the best. Everyone already refers to you as the best quarterback of all time. Like, what else do you need? Now you're just being greedy.
Well, again, I think earlier in this thing, she said something about him saying, well, I just want to win one more. And she says, like, well, it's been two more. You won two more Super Bowls, Tom.
This is where I truly feel for Tom Brady. Like, enough of having to deal with a boss that you probably don't like anymore and an atmosphere at work that's starting to get a little too stressful. It's this. She's got to stop. You understand now. They've traded away Garoppolo. You can't leave yet, Giselle. But either way, that last couple of minutes of the Tom versus Time, he genuinely sounds like retirement is at the forefront.
But we just played coming back, though, the Strahan stuff today. And didn't he say, I still love it? I mean, that sounds like a guy who's going to come back.
He's conflicted. He's conflicted because he's having to deal with this behind the scenes.
I'm going to go with the GMA stuff, what was today. I mean, I think they caught him 3 days after, you know, the Super Bowl. I think he's sort of presenting a case with this Tom versus Time to the Patriots. So, like, hey, you know, you got to incentivize me a little bit to do this. And what was interesting about it to me was, obviously, you know, there's so much stuff that gets left on the cutting room floor. You don't think that Gautam Chopra asked him when he said, you know, you got to have the conviction? You don't think they asked him, do you still have the conviction? They
I mean, they play up the drama with this thing. There's no doubt about that.
They had to have. So they had to have asked him that question, right? My guess is the answer was yes. But why is it left out?
Well, because it makes you question whether or not that he's going to be coming back. Maybe they can do another run of these next season. And it makes it look like, you know, he's going to be walking away and he can use it to his advantage if he wants to try to get a contract extension.
If he wants to get, but not just him, Jim. It's like, okay, I need a contract extension. Now, again, what's something else in there? That phone call? You think that phone call to Gronk's in there by accident?
No. And we'll get to that coming up here. But first, your thoughts if you watched the final episode of Tom versus Time on Facebook today. Pete in Delaware, you're first up here on Felger and Mass. Hey, Pete.
Hey, guys. Hey, you know what's funny is I brought this up during the Jacksonville week that when Brady was discussing injury and he may not play. And I said to you guys, well, I said to Felger and Mass, I said, you know, here we go. Garoppolo's gone. The leverage, he can breathe. Now, you would have never heard those comments before. You would have never heard the comments, the Tom versus Time last night if Garoppolo was still here. You know, it just goes to show. I mean, Garoppolo gave him an edge. That edge is now gone. And, you know, there's a little LeBron to this that Brady can basically hold them hostage now. And every year they're going to have to go all out. And when he goes, there's going to be nothing left of this organization.
Oh, man, if this becomes like a Brett Favre, like, will he, won't he thing every year, I'll shoot myself. I cannot deal with that. No, I cannot. And I would honestly, you know,
lose respect for him.
I would. And Brady's probably the athlete I've covered I respect the most. But I would lose a little respect if he goes into the whole Brett Favre, I don't know, guys. Like, I'll let you know in late June if I'm showing up for training camp. He can't do that. I mean, he won this whole thing. I understand wanting to sort of leverage the organization to make sure you get the deal you want and to make sure Gronk comes back and to make sure Danny comes back. Again, not a coincidence those two guys were mentioned in this Tom versus Time final episode. I get that. But if he turns this into a melodrama every offseason, he's really doing a disservice to the Patriots and I think to his legacy.
Well, can't the Patriots kind of nip that in the bud and just give him an extension? Like, Favre was under contract, and he kept threatening to retire and going to his ranch in Mississippi and all those things, and that was kind of, you know, all right, well, what are you going to do, Brett? We got you here. Signed. Are you going to retire or not? Brady, if he doesn't get the extension he wants, can he sort of put it back on the Patriots? Like, Favre can never really do that with the Packers.
Yeah. And in the end, you know, the one thing the Packers had was Aaron Rodgers. And in the end, they were like, Brett, we're good.
Yeah.
You know, because Favre was like, oh, I want to come back. And they're like, no, we moved on. We're good. And if the Patriots had Garoppolo, potentially that could happen. But obviously they don't. So now the circumstances have changed.
Jim and Weymouth, you're next here on Felger and Maz. Hey, Jim.
Hey, nice to hear you guys during the week. I always enjoy your weekend show.
Oh, hey, thanks.
I thought I was relieved to hear you talk about the perspective of maybe it being a little bit less about him and his retirement and more about him speaking to Kraft, because that's honestly the first thing I thought when I heard it was he's actually talking to Kraft here, I feel like, about and trying to get, like, maybe even get Bill out and get Josh in the seat quicker, because I didn't think it was about as much about his retirement as I thought about him trying to convey what he wants the organization to do in a very subtle way.
Oh, and we're going to play this sound coming up of the not-so-subtle phone call made to Rob Gronkowski in this thing, too. I mean, a lot of this, I think you can really... Look, this is what we do. You read too much into this stuff. We read too much into social media posts from Malcolm Butler and so on and so forth. Like, that happens. But this, I think there's a lot here that are subtle shots to Belichick or subtle clues of how he wants things handled this offseason. And Gronk and the phone call made to him, which we're going to play coming up here, I think that's there for a reason, because he has to be back. Joey in Brookline, you're next here on Felger and Maz with Casper Murray today. Hey.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up?
One of the things that I actually was kind of, it's maybe a little conspiracy-ish and I'm kind of in left field, but one of the things I was also noticing is, you notice how they go from the conversation with Gronk, and then eventually it goes, you know, goes through the whole, like, and, you know, again, it moves into that kind of the last bit where it goes into the whole, you know, talking about his family and retirement and all this. Could it possibly be that this is really kind of not even maybe even talking about himself, but more just kind of talking about Gronk? And maybe he's had these conversations with Gronk and understands where Gronk's head's at with all of this. And maybe he's kind of not even really, you know, maybe partially talking about himself, but also referencing someone like Gronk.
Yeah, possibly. And like I said, we're going to come back and play this sound right after the Hub headlines here with Christian Arkham. But I have to think, like, look, a lot of this stuff was filmed right after the Super Bowl. It's the timing of this call, timing of a lot of this stuff that was filmed. But if I'm Tom Brady right now, and I'm looking at the landscape of the league and all these moves that are being made, and he knows that Nate Solder has to be back to protect his blind side, and Rob Gronkowski is teetering and doesn't feel like there's been much movement in terms of the Patriots on that, I have to be like, what's going on? I have to think, yeah, maybe some of this stuff is in there on purpose as subtle little clues to the Patriots. Like, look, will you handle your business here? Because there's things that need to be done while other teams are improving.
And how long was there between episode 5 and 6? Like, all these episodes were...
They've had a lot of time to tinker.
Exactly. That's my point. Because these things were just coming out boom, 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 like Super Bowl week. And now this came out March 12th. The game was, what, February the 4th?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been more than a month. Yeah.
So there's a lot of time to tinker to make sure that it's exactly the way he wants it to be when it comes out.
And I have to think, again, with his competitive nature, he has to be sitting there being like, well, figure this out. Is Gronk coming back? Have you figured this out? Can you pay the man? Because he's worth what Antonio Brown makes and some of those top receivers. So figure it out. Rip up his contract and deal with that. Bring back Nate Solder, please.
I know we're going to play the sound, so I won't jump ahead. But the sound says it all about how he feels about Gronk's importance to the team.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I like anti-competitive. Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Patriots continue to rewrite history.
One more drive.
Is Gronk going to be okay for the next game?
He should be. Hey, how you doing, babe? How you doing?
That man's your animal, too. Nice job.
No, you're a animal. Just so you know that.
How you feeling, honey?
I'm feeling way better. I just actually laid down for an hour and a half.
That was a miracle of us winning without you out there, just so you know. That was a miracle.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Dude, how does Danny get so good in the playoffs? It's unbelievable.
That was unreal.
Big Jim Murray, Chris Gasper in alongside Christian Arkan and you at 617-779-0985. And again, that's the second time I've heard it, Chris, but it's not so subtle. Granted, this phone call happened after the AFC Championship game and they squeaked by the Jacksonville Jaguars. And hey, yeah, I do tend to agree. I mean, it's a bit bold there by Brady, but yeah, they were lucky to get by him considering how well they played in that game. But we wouldn't have done it without you, Gronk. And we wouldn't have done it without Danny. who have to be paid and back. Please, Patriots, Robert, Bill, figure it out. I need Danny and Gronk because they're so important. Hint. You know, am I wrong in thinking that?
Like, no, I don't think you're wrong at all. And I would say it definitely wasn't subtle. I mean, he says, they leave a clip in there where he says, just so you know, Gronk, it was a miracle we won that game without you. Miracle.
Yeah.
So, I mean, right there, you're saying basically how you feel about the guy and his importance to the team. And again, that was another one where I was like, yeah, this is not, you're really shoehorning this in here, huh?
Yeah.
Letting us know. And the month plus you had to craft this thing and put it together. You're really letting us know how you feel. And I think that's sort of a theme throughout this final episode of this thing is the idea that he wants to be appreciated, that he wants to be incentivized to keep going and wants to be rewarded for what he's done, you know, for the Patriots and the sacrifices that he's making personally in his personal life and that his family makes to be able to have this team go to 8 Super Bowls with him as the quarterback.
The real conspiracy theorist in me says that call wasn't even that long because Gronk had been concussed. He had laid down for an hour and a half and just said, yeah, I'm fine. And they go back in post-production, and Brady and Gotham Chopra call Gronk and say, okay, we need you to say this. Ready? Gronk, say the following.
Yeah, how does Danny get so good in the playoffs? Man, yeah, he should get all the money this offseason. Bring him back. Danny's so important. Hey, Patriots?
Perfect. We'll put it in. All right. That's all we need from you, Gronk. Again, this thing, it has been throughout the whole arc, but this final episode, a little bit concerning in terms of, okay, is Tom looking to hang it up even sooner than we thought? And all these subtle hints to the Patriots, and it also makes me, my biggest takeaway of all is watching this thing, it's still not right. It's still certainly not right between Brady and Belichick.
It doesn't feel like it. As in, look, who knows, you know, listening to Bertrand or Zolak and Bertrand before we came on, you read between the lines sometimes, you know, when Zoe says stuff, and it's like, well, how do you know the meeting didn't already happen? So maybe it did already happen between Bill and Kraft and Brady, and they solved all this stuff. But maybe it wasn't solved at the time they were putting the finishing touches on this thing. But you're absolutely right about that. I mean, I think that's huge to go into next season and make sure everybody's on the same page, and whatever hard feelings might exist from last season or disagreements or friction or tension or whatever you want to call it, that obviously bubbled up to the surface in a way that we've never seen it bubble up before with the Patriots. We've never seen that, what we saw this past season with the stuff that came out about disagreements between Bill and Brady. You want to make sure there's some sort of, you know, agreement there, detente, and everybody can sort of move forward and be on the same page and everybody's pulling in the same direction.
Michael in Medford, you're next here on Felger and Maz. Hey, Michael.
Yeah, I wanted to put another twist on it just in case, with his wife watching the Super Bowl being there, and then they had the lead late in the game, and then they lost it, and she might be a little bit upset with Malcolm Butler left there, and she missed a chance for him for his promise about winning the Super Bowl go by the wayside. Plus, if he did quit, the other point is she also is a model, and she does tours too, so if he quit, what's he going to do, be a babysitter? I mean, how much time can they spend together as a family, even if he left? I mean, just my thoughts.
Yeah, look, I don't know. I heard
Well, she's technically retired, isn't
she? That's what I thought.
I mean, she does some stuff, but I don't think...
She's still a brand ambassador.
Yes, but I mean, technically, she's retired.
Yeah. I don't know. I think she just
wants...
How does
that work?
I think she just wants him around more. I'm sure he wants... You know, those kids are at an age now. I'm sure he wants to be spending a little bit more time with them, too. But they are in school. You can't spend 24 hours a day with your kids. I don't plan on having them, but I can't imagine those of you that do have kids, you want to be around them all the time, right?
Yeah, I have to be honest, Jim. I feel like you and I are the wrong guys to be commenting on life with kids and what it's like with kids. You know, you're talking about two people who are like, ooh, kids.
Are you in that boat, too, Arcand?
I don't have kids.
Yeah, but you're in your 30s, right? Like... Do you plan on having them at some point, or are you just like
I'd
anti-kid
like to,
like
yeah,
we are?
I think I will at some point. I'm not like averse to them. They don't bother me. Yeah, I don't see the kids in Tom versus Time and think, you know, like that's not for me. Like, whatever. I think it's cute when the daughter's, you know, on FaceTime or when she's coming down the stairs. That was never seemed like a negative thing to me.
Oh, no, I'm not repulsed by children. Like, I think they're adorable, but I get to walk away from them. I'm mostly with Crystal. Like, they're good. I like being an uncle, but I can walk away.
No, me too. I love that.
That's the best part of it. Like, oh, clean of my hands, goodbye. So a lot of this, like what I see in Tom versus Time with the kids and then Giselle talking about it and him even saying maybe I want to be around them more, like, that's so foreign to me. Like, I just don't get it. Corey in the car, you're next year on Felger and Maz. Hey.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Real quick, I just want to see if what Brady was talking about with his conviction or persuasion, do you think with that big thing you dropped, or are you
the Brady talking to Gronk on the phone or talking about Danny and the miracle to win the game. Do you think that's his persuasion? Get my guys' deals done. Get my deal done, and I'll come back, and I'll play X amount of years. Thanks.
Well, I have thought that he, especially with Rob Gronkowski, I have thought that he has to be part of whatever pitch there is. If they're going to talk to Gronk and say, hey, all right, you know what? We understand you want to walk away. You have another option here that's legitimate. You could be a WWE superstar if you want to be that. Brady has to be part of the pitch to say, hey, I can't lose you. Please, just give me a couple more years. How about this? Just do it. Time your time to mine. In other words, like, when I walk away, you can walk. Just give me a couple of more seasons. That's all. But Brady has to be part of it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you on that. I mean, and I think he would be a big part of it. And there's a personal relationship there, obviously, between Brady and Gronk. And maybe Brady can sort of say to Gronk, hey, big fella, you can't let me down here. You know, I can't do this without you. We got one more to win. And you do that, and maybe you tug at the heartstrings a little bit for Gronk. What's interesting, though, too, is Tommy Curran wrote something along the lines of what Giselle was saying about Tom saying he wants it to be fun. Tommy Curran wrote something about Gronk and his situation and basically said that even before the season started that there was an issue with Gronk and an idea that maybe Gronk wasn't having as much fun, there's that fun word again, as he had before.
Well, former Bengals wide receiver T.J. Houshmandzadeh, too, has been talking in the last few days or last week saying that culture, that because of what a taskmaster that Belichick is, like that, that's probably not going to last that much longer. Now, granted, it's not like this is a guy that's been in the franchise, but he talks to other players throughout the league. Like, that fun thing I keep hearing. Okay, but you know what you get into when you play for this guy. It's not going to change. The fun thing, enough with the fun. Enough with the fun. As long as you get paid, just go out there. Sure, I'm sure you would like to talk about your celebrations or do a little bit more of those, but that's just not how it's going to...
But Gronk was also a guy... Gronk did the Alex Guerrero thing this year. Are you connecting the dots here? Like... You know, Brady in the documentary has his wife saying he wants it to be fun, which is kind of hinting it was not as much fun. And we have the Wickersham story, which basically put out there that it was not as much fun. There was too much negativity this year. You have the Tommy Curran story with Gronk sort of saying, oh, not as much fun. And Guerrero. So it seems like Gronkowski is somebody who's with the cult of Brady, the cult of Guerrero. And these guys are saying it's not fun and sort of hinting that, oh, I don't know, you know, I might not come back. That's not good for the Patriots.
No, and this is why, again, my biggest takeaway from watching this final episode of Tom vs. Time today is that it's still not right behind the scenes. NFL's legal tampering window opened today. Nate Solder, still not officially a Patriot. There's interest from other teams. We're going to touch on that. And hey, we missed out on Richard Sherman. Surprise! We'll get to all this coming up in our long commercial-free segment. Felger and Mazzier on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
You're listening to Felger.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Watch this. Talib reaches in, grabbed the goat chain,
yeah,
and ripped it apart. Bantry is in disbelief.
Oh, no, nah, man. He just been wearing that chain all year, man. It just been growing on me. So I said, if he wear that chain in front of me, I'm going to snatch it off.
Richard, let me ask you the final play. Take me through it.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get. Don't you ever talk about me.
Who was talking about you?
Crabtree, don't you open your mouth about the best. Or I'm going to set it for you real quick. L.O.B.
All right, before... And Joe, back over to you.
Aqib Talib, a Ram. Richard Sherman, member of the San Francisco 49ers, one or the other, was expected to be a Patriot in 2018, and that's pretty much all we talked about last week, and now we're looking at Eric Rowe across from Stephon Gilmore next year. Oh, good. Felger and Maz, 98.5 of Sports Hub, simulcast on NBC Sports Boston, Gasper Murray, and for the guys today, Christian Arcan in my normal spot. This isn't great. I spent most of Saturday with you, Chris, bitching about this before the deal was actually made with the Niners. Look, I get it. You want to make a case about the money. But now that we know more details about Richard Sherman's deal, like this is more aggravating, especially when you read from Jeff Howe, the Boston Herald, who covers the Patriots, on Twitter yesterday. The Patriots never reached out to Sherman, who signed with the Niners. His interest in the Pats had been real. Oh, that's good. Wants to play with Tom Brady. Of course, who wouldn't? But the 49ers presented a heck of an offer, and heck, Brady will still be playing the next time Sherman's a free agent. Okay, fine. Maybe he ends up here.
Should have called the Red Sox spring training facility, because that's where Bill is.
Yeah.
Hopefully they have an Uber driver.
And look, and you want to consider him damaged goods coming off the Achilles? I can understand that. But when you look at this deal that Sherman handled himself without an agent, the biggest thing that's come out in the last 24 hours is the signing bonus. It was initially reported as $5 million. It's actually only $3 million, and the additional $2 million is in the form of a roster bonus that gets paid on the Niners roster the first day of training camp. Like, a lot of this is, you read this thing, it really, it's good for the Niners. Sherman's gambling on himself.
He is
fine.
Gambling on himself, yeah.
But it's, if he's truly damaged goods, it was worth taking a shot to me. Like, this is, yeah, at its best, could be worth close to $40 million, but there's a lot that's riding on Richard Sherman's health here, and that's frustrating to read, that there was no interest, they never even made the phone call.
It is surprising to me that they never even sort of just touched base with him, just to see, okay, what are the contract parameters? Like, one thing that came out with the Sherman thing is that he went back to the Seahawks after he did this deal with the 49ers with all the incentives in it and said, would you do this? And the Seahawks...
They said the incentives were too rich.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe the Patriots would have said the same thing at the end of the day, because as you said, Sherman's betting on himself, and if he plays like Richard Sherman, he's going to get paid. But when you look at the guarantees that are here and just the idea that he's expressed he wants to play with Tom Brady, it is a little surprising the Patriots wouldn't reach out. But you know what I told you, and I said this to you on Sunday, and I think some Patriots fans might be disappointed, unless they're huge Danny Shelton fans. I think that this offseason for the Patriots, and particularly free agency for the Patriots, is going to be about retention, not addition. I mean, you already see on Pro Football Talk and on Twitter that the Texans are making a run at Nate Solder, and the Broncos are making a run at Nate Solder. And so when you have Nate Solder, when you have Danny Amendola as free agents, we're talking about a potential extension for Tom Brady. We've talked about Gronkowski needing to be enticed to return with more money. When you put that all together, it's about trying to keep the band together, not trying to add guys. And I think that's their number one focus right now. And I know that's not sexy, and it might be disappointing to a lot of people, but I think that's the reality of where the Patriots are at right now as the legal tampering period has kicked off and as we await the start of real free agency. It's about their own guys and keeping this team together.
Christian, how are you on this? Because I lose all my objectivity when I hear names like Tlaib, who was obviously a success here,
right,
a few years that he played here, and then Richard Sherman, who I lust for, especially if he's healthy. When they lose out on both, I can't be impartial. I'm just mad.
I don't love it. I don't love that they lost, especially Sherman, with an incentive-laden deal like that. If it was $13 million guaranteed or even $10 million guaranteed, then fine. There's no room for that here with the Patriots. They have other things to worry about. But $3 million guaranteed and all those incentives? You didn't make a phone call? Like, the Patriots have that pitch they can always give a team, or give a player, I mean, where they say, hey, you know, we can't give you all the money you want, but we can give you some sort of structured contract with incentives if you do this, if you're an all-pro, if you're a Pro Bowler, whatever.
Oh, they love those per-game roster bonuses.
Exactly. And also, you can, you know, come here and play for a winner. You know, that's the Patriots' pitch. They've given it to how many players? And a lot of times it works. Not always, but sometimes. Sherman said outright, I want to go, you know, take a look at New England, see that's a place I'd be interested in, and they don't even reach out. Now, I think CB2 is probably not the highest priority for this team, especially on that defense. They got linebackers to sign, and I think they can still work on the D-line a little bit. But not even a Twitter DM, not a text message, nothing, really. I mean, that's surprising.
And so that, I agree with you on. You can't, I thought part of the pitch here is the aura and the sustained success. You can't even make that phone call when, as of right now, and I believe that he'll be fine, right? Even we're living this time of better living through chemistry. You know, guys have come back from this injury. Terrell Suggs did in one season.
Exactly.
He'll be fine. But as of right now, the real money is $3 million bucks. As of right now, today, that is $3 million real dollars. You couldn't have picked up the phone call to at least have that conversation.
Well, it makes you wonder, why wouldn't they do that? I mean, Christian's right. I don't think CB2 is really atop the list of needs. And I look at a team like the New Orleans Saints last year, who were fishing around looking at Malcolm Butler and veteran guys at corner. And then what did they do? They solved the problem in the draft. They got Marshawn Lattimore, who's a lot cheaper and probably better than anybody they would have gotten in free agency. So the Patriots could address it in that direction. They could address it in that manner. But it is a little surprising that they wouldn't even give Sherman a call. And again, that makes you wonder, is there something outside of the playing resume and the injury that makes them say, oh, we're not interested?
And, you know, you talk about handling things internally with one of their own guys, Nate Solder. Behind Rob Gronkowski is the most important thing that they have to handle in their own business. And when you hear what the money is probably going to be, like, he's going to get probably $14 million a year. Like, I hear that number, I'm like, oh, there's no way they're going to.
Bye-bye. He's gone.
There's no
you
way.
Think he's gone?
Marcus Cannon left tackle next year. Get ready for it. That's what I think is going to happen.
It's a scary
thought. So, Mike Giardi.
Marcus Cannon and Eric Rowe.
Oh, God. Mike Giardi, NBC Sports Boston, tweeting, interest in Nate Solder has unsurprisingly been off the charts. He mentioned Texans and Broncos would appear at the head of the class. You know, before this even started, the Texans immediately came to mind. When they traded Dwayne Brown, they have Deshaun Watson coming back from a ripped-up ACL. Like, of course they need help at left tackle. And it would be a fit, considering he knows who Bill O'Brien is, of course. So I figured, oh, okay, and the Texans, they have money. They're going to be the team that ends up getting them. they have to be able to convince him and come in close around 12-ish and hope that, and I heard Beal talking about it too, and I agree. It's tough to talk about what's going on with Nate Solder's son. I hate to use that as like maybe the Patriots are using that to their advantage. It's just, it's a difficult thing.
Yeah,
like,
but
let's not pretend that there's, I understand, like, look, you can get the best medical care for children here and on the planet, but that doesn't mean that it's desolate throughout the rest of the country, you know, especially in Texas. He could find it if he wants it, and he certainly has the money to do it, even if they had to travel back here. It doesn't mean just because he's gotten all this great care for his son here that he's stuck here.
You know? The other thing, too, for a guy like Solder, and you've heard in the past the idea that maybe he's a guy that's kind of year to year in terms of wanting to play or that he reconsiders stuff, this might be his last bite at the apple. And the last bite at the apple for his family. So if there's someone who's going to blow him away, ultimately, I think this one's going to play out like the Devin McCourty situation, which is, you know, Devin basically had...
He met with the Giants, right?
Yeah, he had like a foot and a half out the door because he was getting a top-of-the-market deal. And then at the last second, the Patriots sort of rode in and said, yeah, okay, we'll give it to you.
And Peter King wrote about this, too, in his MMQB column today, saying the Patriots are going to be quite aggressive in their attempt to keep him. So that's at least good to hear, because it's felt like so far, like nothing. Have you made the phone call for Nate? Because that, to me, is the second most important.
Dante Scarnecchia could be the X factor there, too. I mean, if I'm Solder, you know, I look at it and say, hey, how long is Dante going to do this? Because I really like playing for him, and he gets the best out of me, and it's a comfortable situation. But how much longer is Dante going to coach? Because I might be going to another place where I know, you know, again, you go to Houston, you know, Bill O'Brien has more control down there. So there's a little bit more stability. Do you think Solder looks at it and says, okay, well, wait, who's going to be here? Like, is Bill going to be the coach? Is Dante going to be the offensive line coach? Who am I going to be playing for?
James in California. How do you feel about missing out on Richard Sherman?
Oh, yeah, I think Belichick should be fired. I think it's a joke that he didn't get Tlaib, Bennett, or Sherman. And they're going to go into next season with Johnson Batamosi and Jordan Richards and all these other bums. And I honestly think they'll be lucky to go 10-6 next year. I just want to know what you think about that.
Wow, that's awfully negative.
Yeah.
Well, is that a friend of yours, Murray?
No, I'm not that negative.
Oh, please.
I've heard you take... So it's funny. I think you get more of these calls on the weekend of like, fire Belichick. Belichick should go. Like, it's been a bad month for the man. It really has. In fact, even if you want to go back to last offseason, a lot of those moves blew up in his face. It hasn't been a really... In terms of personnel decisions, not a great year for Bill. But fire him? I mean, come on. He's one of the greatest coaches, if not the of all time.
I was on the air after the Super Bowl for the whole night until 6 in the morning. I got about 5 or 6, half a dozen calls. Saying fire Belichick. That was right after the game. Okay?
Yeah,
so
people were
raw. People were mad. It has been over a month, folks. In the fire Belichick, people are still calling this radio station and saying that. Like really? Like you haven't calmed down a little bit because they missed out on Michael Bennett? Come on.
I appreciate
fire Belichick, please.
I appreciate the anger, but let's not get crazy.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.